It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician/athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
You can lay me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free. I was born free.
Hey, welcome to Speak Out. It is Thursday, June 3rd, 2021, what we call around here Winning Thursday.
Winning.
Yeah, we're going to be winning. Somebody's going to be winning today because we're giving away two pair of tickets to Movies
to
Havasu.
Paradise.
Good one. Yeah, we could do Eddie Money one day.
Sure.
Right?
I saw him at Banana Jones.
Was he good?
Yeah,
that's another story. How old was he?
How long? I mean, Banana Jones in Havasu.
I don't remember.
Oh, really? Yeah. So the El Paraiso, the Mexican restaurant right next to my building, has failed numerous times as various businesses. It was never Houston.
It wasn't?
People used to blame it on the location. I'm like, no, it's like literally has only been bad restaurants as far as I can remember and bars. But so El Paraiso's killing it. I mean, their parking lot flows into my parking lot.
Wow.
But that used to be a place called Banana Jones. And somehow somebody knew somebody and, I was standing, from me to you. Watching Eddie Money there, and whenever that was.
Well, anyway,
we
got off on this Eddie Money tangent. We're actually going to be
Money is another segue into my portion of the show.
This
Brian
is true.
Talking about money.
This is true. But we need to talk about Winning Thursday for a second because
we're
going to be giving away tickets to Movies Havasu. These tickets have no restrictions and for all show times. And the newest releases right now are Cruella with Emma Stone and A Quiet Place with Emily Blunt. And during the first and second breaks, we'll go ahead and open up the phone line. It's open anyway if you want to call in, but don't call in for the tickets until I release the hounds.
Wow, that's the power.
That is. I have the power. That's absolutely right. All right, Suns basketball returning to the court tonight. You got to love it, man. The Clippers got knocked off last night.
Yep, saw that.
So no more NBA dream matchup for L.A. fans of the Clips and the Lakers, right? So Suns at Lakers tonight after that 20-point win the other night, and that's game six. They could close it out tonight. The tip-off is at 7:30. We'll probably join, with all the fanfare and playoffs and introductions and that. It's about 15 minutes. They say 7:30, but the tip-off will be at about 7:45.
Got it.
So that's what it's programmed for anyway. And Arizona Diamondbacks at Milwaukee Brewers will be before that. First pitch at 4:40. We'll go to the Suns no matter what happens in that Diamondbacks game. So there you have it. All right. And we picked the music already.
Yeah, it was easy.
It was. So, and I had no idea that you liked that band. So
huge fan.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Grew up with older brothers in the 70s.
It's a three-piece with a very eccentric singer, right? The second part is one of my favorite vocalists ever. So the second incarnation of that band.
I know it.
Ah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's their first first one with him was an amazing album. So I'm not giving it away yet. But, Brian, what's happening in the world of business, finance, and investing?
Markets, you know, the broad markets, S&P 500 in the U.S. currently down just slightly, relatively flat. The Dow up just a tick. The NASDAQ down a little bit, considerably more. Technology leading the downside there. It's been a little bit of a whipsaw day. Markets have definitely been fluctuating a little bit. They were down considerably more than they are now because of some concerns. But great news has come in, and lofty expectations on tomorrow's job report coming in. ADP, which is, you know, the largest payroll provider, I believe, in the country, you know, talking about huge upticks in employment. And so there was some concerns last month about some job reports not being as robust as hoped. And the question was, is that a trend or is that an aberration? And expectations coming out, you know, today, tomorrow, or that it was an aberration, that you're, that in fact, unemployment claims down and, you know, hires up. And so all those things are currently accelerating and, you know, continuing to contribute to a lot of employers' difficulties right now is the lack of labor, lack of employment. And I was, you know, listening. Actually, I had to go to Bullhead on Business already and back this morning.
Wow.
And so I was listening to Bloomberg Radio, I think it was, talking about different things. They were talking about the, you know, the tight labor force, et cetera, and they started throwing out some statistics about how the number of new businesses opening across the country and how, you know, incredibly positive that is. And so you've got existing businesses expanding and getting back to full steam and then some, and slammed with business, and then you've got tons of people opening up businesses simultaneously. And you've got huge pent-up demand, corporations, huge amounts of cash, personal savings amongst individuals and families, huge amounts of cash relative to history, and so huge amount of cash on hand to buy and do stuff, and at the same time, you know, all these businesses expanding or reopening or starting brand new, and that's why we predominantly are where we are. You know, great news, but again, feeding into some concerns about this, not whether or not this is a temporary increase in inflationary pressures. And I think I mentioned last show that a lot of the analysts and economists, the majority, are saying that it is just a, you know, confluence of things causing it to be temporary. But I personally am not that convinced that it is. And I also was wondering what they mean by temporary, because you have to remember that a lot of them take long views. Like, no, this is not a 10-year inflationary period. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not thinking that way. I'm thinking, is it a 2-year inflationary period?
Right.
Because that could have relative effects on corporate earnings in the near term. That could have relative effects on bonds and, you know, my clients' investment portfolios. And so trying to navigate that. And so there are tools, just so you know, that there is not always a direct correlation between inflation going up and the stock market going down. That's not necessarily going to happen, everybody, over time. And the second thing is that there are investments that can prosper in that environment, specifically both on the stock or equity side or the fixed income or bond side of things that are designed to try to flourish in those environments. And so making sure that your portfolio reflects not only your long-term goals and your risk tolerances, but also maybe paying attention to what's happening in real time and if you're in some decent positions to adjust to that. And there's also been kind of a retrenching, you know, what has been doing well. So the sectors in May that really, you know, month end just a couple days ago, that really did phenomenal. Financials up 5.6% for the month. And remember that it's been growth in technology mostly that's led. Well, you know, this year it's changed a little bit. A lot of value stocks, as they call them, and financials and things that really didn't do as well the last couple of years are now kind of leading the charge, at least for now. Materials up 4.6%. Nobody's surprised about that if you are in the construction trades or you are paying somebody in the construction trade or you're trying to redo your office or your home. You certainly understand that. Energy up 3.2%, obviously, with the price of gas, going up. And so, you know, we definitely are seeing some changes that are taking place as the economy matures. And again, the question is it going to overheat too much too soon? Or actually, I guess it's been building and building for some time, but certainly elements may be overheating, and that is where you want to be paying attention with what you're doing with your money. Because again, you've got the short-term and the long-term view. I'll use Lake Havasu City as an example. Yeah, long-term, boy, I couldn't be more bullish about this community. You know, stunning, you know, and maturing. You know, the type of housing, the type of just, you know, people, the demographics moving here, independent of where they're from, just the wealth that's coming to town will naturally cause some change. And you might see us continue to grow and expand, which will have upsides. You know, you might see ASU expand and offer not only having, you know, having higher education in a community is a wonderful thing, both in terms of, you know, cultural attractions, but also employment opportunities and economic growth as well, and just amenities for those of us that live here. But of course, there can be trade-offs with that, which is why you definitely want to make sure and pay attention to what's happening at your city level and county level, and how much are they paying attention to preserving quality of life while those things are all happening. But, you know, so you've got that long-term view. Short-term view is there is always the possibility of something causing a downturn, whether it has anything to do with Lake Havasu, Mojave County, the state of Arizona, or, you know, the United States of America, who knows? But you always need to kind of be prepared for that, especially when it costs so much to maybe build your home or build that spec or, you know, be in those trades. You know, you start kind of tapping your finger. You don't want to miss out on the continued explosion that's taking place. But right. At the same time, you have to kind of say, okay, I don't want to be overextended if that party comes crashing down. Am I in a position to deal with that? Am I over leveraged with debt, or have I paid with cash? And no, it's not going to be fun, but I don't owe anybody anything or much, and so it's not going to be overly oppressive on my financial situation.
So, Brian, there was a headline on in yesterday's news about Ally Bank. Mm-hmm. Did you see this? About they are eliminating all overdraft fees for customers, and there's a report that said this is it says Americans paid $12.4 billion total, not for Ally Bank, in overdraft fees in 2020, according to a 2021 financial health spend report. What does that do to Ally Bank customers that are paying for other types of services within the bank? Isn't just going to relax, you know, overdraft fees and not make it up somewhere else. Where will they make that up?
Volume.
Okay.
Sorry, I just had a Saturday Night Live skit go through my head from the old days. And it's great because it's germane, I guess, to kind of the show, and I'll come back to it in a second. But, you know, their thinking obviously is one, you know, sometimes in business you do things not because it's a, you know, you're going to offset it with another fee, which in fact they may be doing. I don't know. But it may be preservation of existing clients, a strategy, as well as attraction of others. And the reason is that overdraft fees have made the news a little bit in that, I believe, I'm trying to remember if it was Bank of America, I want to say, or Chase Bank that was being kind of attacked, by Senator Warren, at the Senate for these, you know, crazy overdraft fees that a lot of people were being charged, especially maybe like during the pandemic or during layoffs.
Most are $35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there was, you know, so that's kind of in the news a little bit. So I think that the marketing consultants for Allied Bank said, hey, we should take advantage of this being in the public eye a little bit. And by saying we're not going to do that, maybe we'll get some traction in terms of volume, meaning attracting, you know, more customers. And, you know, the skit I was referring to, I don't know if you remember this, Paul, it was in the 70s, so it was early Saturday
Night. I probably remember it then.
The First Change Bank of the United States.
No.
So, you know, it was very, you know, how they do commercials and it's slow going and it evolves, and they do a great job making it feel like it's a real commercial.
Oh, they're satire.
Partially because
yeah.
they're so good at it, slash some commercials are just so terrible, right? It's not hard to make it seem real and make fun of it. But it was the, you know, the First Change Bank, and you know, if you know you've got 10 dimes, we'll give you 4 quarters. And if you know you've got, you know, 100 pennies,
that's funny,
we'll give you 10 dimes. Whatever right. you need here at the First Change Bank of the United States. And then at the end, the narrator comes on. So tell me, you know, I understand that you're doing. How do you plan on making money? And the response was volume.
Boom, boom. No, yeah, yeah. Great hook, by the way.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, so that's kind of where we're at. And we're going to break in just a sec, but just to give you an idea of just how big and fast the economy is expanding after after advancing 4.3% in the fourth quarter of 2020, the first quarter GDP expansion rate, our economy's expansion rate was annualized at 6.4%. We haven't been sniffing around something legitimately like that. I'm not talking about after the pandemic recovery where that, you know, the downturn and the uptick were both, you know, those aren't real numbers. Those are just temporary, you know, aberrations, as I guess I was saying before. But, you get a little bit closer to 6.4%, now obviously being stimulated by stimulus. Lots of government money being thrown around under both President Trump and President Biden, and then businesses taking off and opening. All these things are kind of contributing to it. But if it feels like, you know, things are going well, it's because they are. All right, let's hit that first break. If you have any questions or comments, please give me a call. Sound Advice here on Speak Out. Happy to answer what I can.
All right. And we're going to let the cat out of the bag. A little Black Sabbath today.
Yeah.
Classic Sabs. All right. And it's Winning Thursday. If you want to win a pair of tickets to Movies Havasu, this is an $18.50 value for both tickets. No restrictions, all show times. Give us a call, 854-KNTR-928-854-5687, and you'll have a pair of tickets to Movies Havasu on this Winning Thursday. I'm Paul Lavoie, back with Sound Advice with Brian Springberg in a moment. Stay with us. That, Brian, one of the best lyrics of all time, right? Fairies with boots dancing with a dwarf. I used to play and sing this song. What a trick. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Also, Mojave Mortgage, GDK CPA LLC, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise. That's right, I should have featured you guys. Connected Computer and Technology, Horizon Community Bank, and of course, Arizona Krav Maga. And thank you to Springberg McAndrew Financial Services for your sponsorship of Speak Out, as always.
Of course, yeah.
And starting next week, you'll be on the road again, right?
I'll be calling in.
We might have to do Willie Nelson or something.
So, sure.
Are you a Willie fan?
Of course.
I didn't think you liked country too much.
Willie ain't country. Willie's Willie.
There you go.
Kidding me?
Congratulations to Lori. Lori picked up a pair of tickets to Movies Havasu, and she'll be in to pick those up. She's in stuck in Yucca right now, from what I understand. But anyway, we'll give away another pair of tickets during the next commercial break, because we had another person call in, and I had to tell him, oh, we already have a winner.
Denied.
So. Denied. That's right. That's called power, Brian, right?
That's, don't let it go to your head now.
So thanks, Lori, for participating and winning Thursday. We'll give away another pair of tickets during the next break.
Yeah. So those of you who are getting close to Social Security or are that age and thinking about when to take it or not to take it, thought we'd talk a little bit about it it was actually, I want to say maybe 3 weeks or so ago, the Wall Street Journal had a pretty good story on mistakes people sometimes make relative to when they take their Social Security income. Now, as you'll hear me say over and over, don't be relying on just that. And I'm not saying it because it's not going to be there for you. I'm saying it because it isn't going to get it done for most people as far as being able to pay your bills and live your quality of life that you just worked the previous 45 years trying to get to on some level. So let's talk a little bit about that. One of the things that people think about is worrying about dying too young. Well, what if I die too young? I should probably take it early, because it's true, if you don't live too long and you didn't take that extra income and do the things you wanted to do and live the quality of life you wanted to, you will certainly regret it. Because at 62, early Social Security, you get about 80% of your full benefit. Right now, most people are 66, but pushing to 67 years old for normal retirement age. And if you actually wait till age 70, you can get then 120% of your full benefit that you were supposed to be getting at age 67, let's say. Trying to figure out when to take it. Well, if you want to retire and you can't pay your bills and that Social Security is going to make the difference and you can't work one more day at your job, take it. Financial considerations, who cares? You live your life, right? But from a strictly financial point of view, you have to think it through. But because people are living longer, there has been a pretty big shift. The percentage of people taking Social Security as soon as they're eligible at 62 has roughly dropped in half in the last 15 years to about 25% in the most recent year, 2019. Even so, only about 6% of Americans claiming Social Security in 2017 were age 70. So the vast majority of people waited to their full benefit age, not earlier, not longer, but disproportionately relative to waiting longer, people did take it earlier, but half as many as they used to. And that makes some sense, because your benefit goes down when you take it earlier, and if we're all living longer, then not only does your monthly benefit get reduced, but that compounded over more years makes your financial decision, even more questionable. I guess on the similar vein, you can wait too long to claim your benefit. It kind of depends upon your circumstances. For most people, you probably shouldn't wait longer. And so let me give you an example. If you're single, maybe you have poor health, and the number is about age 77 based upon these calculations. If you don't think you're going to make it past age 77, it probably does make sense to take it early, around 62. Hey, I'm in poor health. I don't think I'm going to make it past 77. Then, waiting to take benefit doesn't make sense, because you're not going to obviously receive as much over time. Single also comes into play, because relative to whether or not you get a spousal benefit involved as well. The calculation does change, however, like I was saying, for married couples. Depending upon your situation, really depends. Now, ultimately, what are the resources you should be using for this? The Social Security Administration, I get that's not an 800 number you necessarily want to pick up the phone and wait on hold for 7 days, or go down. But there might be an ability if you can get through or go online and kind of figure that out. Or financial advisors often can kind of give you some insights.
It's interesting you bring that up, though. I have a sister who's retired.
Okay.
She's in her 70s, believe it or not. And she put it to a spreadsheet, knowing her investments, and it turned out she's single, actually widowed, and she turned out to be better off retiring at 62. She did it all in a spreadsheet.
And there's the example,
we talked
right?
about that.
Single.
It's interesting that you bring that up.
Yeah. And that's actually a segue, because sometimes, people don't switch over to a widow or widower's benefit, which actually can be bigger than your own.
But she was widowed years ago, 25 years ago. Yeah.
So, but still, depending, it's worth investigating if the benefit you'll receive is more or less right. than the benefit that you could receive from your deceased spouse if you're eligible.
I was
just
say, does that mean that she could take his Social Security?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if he was in a higher earning job, et cetera, then right. it's possible for sure.
Hmm.
Also, I thought this was an interesting point because I hadn't really personally thought of this way, and it makes some sense. So one of the decisions people make is, okay, I'm thinking I want to take Social Security early, but I'm still working. And so I often counsel caution to my clients because I say, listen, if you make more than, as of, this year, $18,960 a year, so not a lot, and you take it early before your normal retirement age, then the government will reduce your benefit $1 for every $2 of earnings in excess of that amount. So sometimes it's like, why should I work? I'm just going to have my Social Security benefit reduced. However, think of this. There's a scenario that if you did keep working and you were making good money, that actually, in some cases, could cause the amount of Social Security benefit that you're eligible for down the road to increase. So you have to kind of think that through a little bit.
Right.
And then one more point, and then I'm going to save the last point till we come back from the break, and that is not a reason if you're not happy in that marriage, but sometimes getting divorced can actually have a negative effect, especially if your work didn't give you a large benefit, your spouse was making more money originally, you divorce that spouse, and then let's say you remarry, and that spouse isn't making as much mm-hmm. as the previous spouse, then obviously you're not going to be as eligible for as big a benefit. And so I would believe that's probably not a motivation for most people. And if that is, then, shame on you, man. I mean, for $1,000 a month, I'm going to suck it up and put up with that, that terrible person. On
yeah,
the end
I don't,
of this
I couldn't do it.
Well, no.
The whole cheaper to keeper argument, fly with me.
Or him. I don't know what rhymes. I'll have to think of what rhymes with him.
Right.
So we insult everybody, right?
Gotcha.
That's it. Insult nobody or everybody. That's my motto. We'll be right back here on Sound Advice and Speak
Absolutely.
Out.
And brought to you today is Winning Thursday. And you can win a pair of tickets right now. Just give us a call. 854-5687. 854-KNTR. Win a pair of tickets to Movies Havasu on this Winning Thursday. They have no restrictions and for all showtimes. Again, we're featuring Black Sabbath today, and this is the second incarnation of Black Sabbath with Ronald James Padavana, also known as Ronnie James Dio. That was a great debut album, though. Back with more in a moment with Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul LaVoy. Stay with us. can't believe, I still can't believe you're a big Sabs fan.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just blown away.
Yeah, my first concert was Nazareth and Crocus.
Wow. I saw a guy do Children, what was that, Screaming in the Night, in karaoke one time in Reno.
Wow.
You know that song, Screaming in the Night by Crocus, big hit?
I do.
Killed it. Absolutely nailed it. I was scared of the guy for that, because those are tough vocals. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, also Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, SunPower by SMA Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty, Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule. No callers during the break. No takers on those tickets
free
for
text.
Winning Thursday. So
free 99.
I may have to move them over to the country station just for that.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Well, maybe all my listeners called in and we've satisfied that.
Maybe they're just not
the one.
Maybe they're just not Dio fans. That's it. Yeah, that's
turned
it.
Turned them off with their, quote, heavy metal.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. We played much harder than that in the past. So.
I'd like to think so. Well,
right.
Last thing to think about that I was going to bring up today about Social Security is taxes. You know, it's possible that you could cause yourself an increase in taxes depending upon when you're taking your Social Security. So you're going to definitely be wanting to talk to your tax professional if your income, independent of Social Security, is fairly robust. I'll give you an example. Take a single retiree that's getting, you know, $32,400 of Social Security income a year and has a investment retirement account, you know, from old 401ks or IRAs, whatever. Let's say, you know, it's north of $1,000,001, somewhere in there. At age 72, which is the new required minimum distribution age, by the way, used to be 70 and a half, the required distributions must start. And based upon those calculations, that might be an income pushing pretty close to about 45 grand. The way it works now is that although with that income, the owner of that account and, you know, that scenario might be in the 22% tax bracket, but there's a possibility of even more, because as you graduate with more and more income, in this case, an income of what, about 76, 77 grand combined Social Security and required minimum distribution, the way it works is about the last 10 grand of it isn't taxed at the 22% bracket, but actually gets pushed up to 40% plus on that last 9,500, 10 grand or so, because there is each dollar that, you know, of Social Security starts getting taxed an extra 85 cents. So you've got to pay attention. Just because you're retired, taxes don't disappear into the night. In fact, it can get even more challenging if you've done well, if you used to have a business that helped you write off certain expenses. If, you know, kids are out of the house, mortgage is paid, whatever you might have been itemizing at one point, a lot of those things kind of go away by the time you get to that stage of life. And suddenly you're scratching your head, oh my gosh, how is it possible that my income's down, but my tax bracket is worse net when everything's said and done? And that is often why. Speaking of taxes, I mean, that's really, I think, at the forefront of most Americans' minds right now relative to what's taking place in the legislature, the House, the Senate, and the White House right now. And it keeps changing. If you remember, we were talking about it, Paul, and you, like most people, are going to ask me, well, you know, what's going to happen when these things happen? And I was like, don't overthink it, was exactly the words I said on the radio, you know, and I said, because you don't know what is being said for negotiation purposes, for just, you know, political purposes, you know, for what the optics are, appealing to your own party or, you know, whatever it is. And those negotiations are still far from over. One of the reasons why the market flattened out today, I mean, it was down, not appreciably, but it was definitely down a little bit more in the morning, but it has flattened out, and that was because Rumorville coming out is that the proposed increase on corporate taxes going, you know, from 21% to 28% is negotiable now, and that's going to be, would be in lieu of a proposed on a minimum tax rate of 15%, regardless of actually, I think, where corporations are domiciled out of, meaning it would be a way of taxing corporations that are moving money overseas and doing things to avoid taxation from their own country and their own government, and paying nothing. And it would also take some companies that pay nothing anyway, even many of those who have received and are receiving subsidies from me and you through the government, mm-hmm. And you know, companies that make $50 billion, $100 billion, and pay no taxes. And so there's been that, and that seemed to be more appealing to the markets than the other proposal. But again, that's just, you know, talk of where things are going. So we're going to continue to see that breakout. The big hope, the dream, as you know, living the dream and not the nightmare, that if you're a person who writes your congressperson or your senator, this is what you need to think about, is that they come to their senses on the tax increase on capital gains for more than $1 million. And that is because, you know, it's very near and dear to me because I have so many clients who are mom and pops and have been in that. You know, my family has helped, you know, do financial planning for and insurance for 47 years. Mm-hmm. And we see some of them maturing and selling their businesses after being in business for literally that long, $3 million, $5 million, $7 million, certainly nice numbers, not crazy numbers in today's world anymore. But to think that people who spent 40 years, 45 years of their life building a small business in a small town in the middle of the Mojave Desert, and you're going to take 40%+ in capital gains on a lifetime of work, you know, 20%? Well, let's face it, nobody wants any. But 20%, we're all like, no, okay. Doubling that for more than $1 million, hey, listen, I'm not going to cry a river if you're doing it on the company that sells for $100 million. You know, okay. But to pick on what is the backbone of this country, 80% of businesses are considered small business. Now, to me and you, that means one thing. Small business on that level, I think it's, you know, maybe under, you know, $1 billion in capitalization or $100 million or whatever. But still, to not have that threshold, $1 million, are you kidding me?
So if you sell a business for $2 million, you're going to pay $800,000 capital gains on that?
So no, the
or 80?
Well, think of it more like this.
Think of 40%.
No, your calc's right, but okay. It's more, okay, what's your tax basis? Meaning, you know, what do you have into the business? So let's say you sell it for $2 million, you've put in $1 million. So the taxable gain is $1 million. So 40% of $1 million, $400,000
right.
of that gain in that scenario.
You're gonna walk with $600,000.
You'd walk with $1.6 million because
okay.
You get your, you know, the basis back. But that's what it cost you. So you're getting your money back in this example. It's the gain that you pay the taxes on, and so it's just like, are you, you know, that scenario to me is punitive. Because
yes.
The whole focus of what that's trying to do is take money from those who are concentrating wealth into a smaller and smaller number of people in this country, and trying to have it more equitable in their minds for everybody else. Okay, on the outside, maybe there's some merit to that, but that directly defeats how I certainly define those who are maybe, you know, at, you know, making they just had a thing on AMC about the theaters, right? Free popcorn, and how they laid off and furloughed, you know, was it 3,000, 30,000, you know, employees last year? And the CEO of that company last year, movie theater, got $21 million in stock. And that, because they were given to give free popcorn to stockholders, they got driven up by retail investors, and that $20 million became worth $200 million,
whoa,
virtually overnight for a company, for the CEO of a company that literally laid off and got rid of tens of thousands of people at the same time.
Right.
Those are the people I'm not crying a river about when it comes to that kind of taxation.
Sure.
Everybody else who goes to the movies, those are the people that might end up on the wrong end of it. So, last break of the hour. We'll be right back here on Sound Advice and Speak Out.
All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul LaVoie.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through SagePoint Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. SagePoint Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in here are independent of SagePoint Financial.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. And Brian wanted to hear this one, so there you go. A little bit. I call it commercialized Black Sabbath right now. So. Because it's the one you hear the most, right?
Well,
War Pigs.
Well, yeah, but it's, you know, there's a difference, I think, between
sure.
commercialized and overplayed. Like, you're not going to say,
okay,
Stairway to Heaven is commercialized, right? It's just overplayed. But it's
no
like when it came out,
yeah.
It's not like, oh my gosh, they're trying to appeal.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that song's like, hey, let's appeal to the masses.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I wish it was.
A lot of requests on rock radio for that one, anyway.
We're
about 2.5 minutes now.
There's good people that way. So, you know, here we are halfway through, I guess, 2021. And a lot of people, of course, are you know, asking me what's going to happen, where is this going? And I got to tell you that in all the economic signs are pretty great. Meaning full steam ahead, except the concern about inflation overheating and, as I always talk about on the show, the great unknown. The things that could cause us to see a major market correction, whether that be real estate, whether that be in the stock market, whatever it is, we don't know. That's the definition of it. You never see the storm coming is kind of how it was put to me by one of my regional vice presidents from one of the mutual fund families that I deal with. And that's kind of been my mantra forever. And so that means in your portfolio, what you're doing has to be focused not only on what we think is happening in real economic time and the markets and positive thinking, but also the possibility that something could occur that we don't see coming. And are you prepared? Do you have your emergency reserves? Do you have the proper insurances? Do you have enough liquidity? Do you have enough defensive positions in your portfolio to get you through a 3-year, 4-year period of time and, you know, not enjoy it, but in the end, shrug it off of, that
right.
wasn't so bad. And that is a successful financial plan. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. We'll catch you soon enough here again on Sound Advice and Speak Out. Thanks for listening.
Talk Don't take soon. Off your can jet, all
okay,
right?
Yep.
You just got a text that they play Crazy Train in elevators.
Exactly. Or, yeah, and for that matter, they on Cadillac commercials.
Crazy Train is now elevator music. All right.
Good point.
Be with us tomorrow on Speak Out. We'll have Sonny Borelli and Leo Biasucci in the studio. Talk about a lot of things, including, more than likely, the governor's flat tax proposal on state taxes. All right, Hannity's up next. I am out of here. We'll see you tomorrow.